Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. Wow, that's so precious, isn't it? In the spirit in our meetings it's just precious to us because we feel God is with us, preparing us, speaking to us, comforting us, encouraging us, and we are learning. We are learning about suffering. We're learning about love, the world, and what the world is saying. And we kind of scratch the surface of the world to try to find out what's behind what they say. And we find oftentimes it's empty. Has anybody seen a sign in the front yard of a home where it says, "Hatred has no home here"? Black Lives Matter, love is love, all those phrases. Did we get that loaded, Jen? No. Okay. So that's you've not seen those signs? Ask your neighbor if you've seen the sign. Okay, how many, your neighbor told you that they've seen the sign? Just raise your hand. Okay. Love is love. What do they mean? They mean that when a homosexual loves a homosexual, that is love. But what if you were to have a discussion with your neighbor or somebody that puts a sign in their front yard, what would you say to them about that? Love is love. Is it? Sometimes it is. Or what is love? Is adultery love? We could ask that. Love is love. A married man falls in love with another woman and he has an affair with her. Is that love? And what do you think about it, right? What do we think about it? What hatred has no home here. What is hatred? What do you mean? Why do you say that? What's the point? If I didn't agree with you, would you hate me? If I don't say the same things that you say, would you hate me? It's a good question. So I'm asking you as a congregation to read that sign, you find it, and in neighborhoods and on the internet, and find it and read it and ask yourself, what do you believe about that sign, what they are saying? And what are they saying? Why? Because it's a test for us, because we are in the world with a lot of things that are being said, and we are capable, from God's point of view, to love people, also to disagree with people. We are also able to love people and lead people. We are also able to provoke them in thinking. So Sunday night, we will have our service, and afterwards, we're going to have a rap session on that sign with love and understanding and explain it and have a good time doing it. But why do we do this? But because we believe we are in a time when the world is very bold in saying things and they're not being checked. Is it love when an old man, this sounds very weird and it's wrong, but an old man loves a little girl? Is that love? Is pedophilia love? Yeah, good question. Well, then what are you saying all over the country about this. Is this propaganda? Are people thinking? Do they know what they're saying? Do they know what they represent? You know? So what are we saying? Why are we saying this? Because Samson in the Bible was a man who was consecrated to God. And he had long hair because he was a Nazarite. His mother took the Nazarite vow for her son to dedicate him. So a razor could not touch his head, nor any fruit juice or wine. He could not drink any of it. So he was consecrated. And we read in the Bible that because Jesus Christ has come into our hearts and we are filled with the Spirit, then we are also consecrated. And there are some things we deny ourselves. We are different. We are different. In Samson's case, they could look at him and say he's different because his hair is long. He didn't have a haircut. And in the story of Judges 16, you see in 13, 14, 15, 16, these chapters, how amazingly strong he was. He carried the city gates 50 miles uphill to Hebron from Gaza. And he carried them at midnight. He walked up a slope 50 miles, and it might have weighed 800 pounds or 1,000 pounds. He was extremely strong. And in the Bible, we see he was strong because he was consecrated, like you. You are wise. You are spirit-filled. God protects you. Angels are round about us in Psalm 34, 7. We're in a hiding place with the Lord our God. He's our bulwark, our tower. He's our buckler. He's our strength. He's our shield. He is the reason why we are strong. We're not strong for any other reason. We would be just common people, except for our consecration has made us different. And consecration means a dedication, a decision, many decisions, and deciding that I will bring this to God. I will trust God. In the high school, we did an exercise, a lesson, and I want to read it to you. No, we didn't do it in the high school. We did it in the Bible college, but we planned to do it in the high school. Imagine the following. One evening, five members of one family silently sat around a table. For many years, they had been not able to achieve harmony amongst themselves. They come to ask, how could this ever be done? How could we have unity? So we taught in the class about how this can be done, how people can, in a family, a marriage, in a church, how we can have unity. We gave this example from a book I read. My younger sister borrows my clothes without asking. Instead of hanging them up, after she crumples them up in a ball and throws them under the bed. This makes me angry, and we are almost always fighting. To make matters worse, my mom takes her side. One day I bought a new pair of jeans. My sister wore them. After she got home, she put them back where they belonged, which I thought was rather strange, until I went to wear them and discovered she had ripped them. So there's a family problem situation. I hate my sister, or my sister destroys my clothes. I am so angry about it. I will hurt her. I will fight with her. I will destroy her. This is one way that people live. It's very common. But Samson represents somebody who has something else going on in his life. And we say that often with regards to the Holy Spirit filling us, teaching us, and comforting us. So could I have that iPad, Pastor? So the picture could look like this. We're going to look at a portion of Scripture in a minute. By the way, I forgot to say Valentine's Day, the seminar Friday night, Saturday. Many of you know Sunday is Valentine's Day. Also remember the singles. Singles are the folks not married or maybe don't have a friend or a boyfriend, kind of alone. Remember them. So we could call that Valentine's Day Friendship Day for the single people. What do you think about that? Friendship Day. All right, high five your neighbor for a minute. Come on, Friendship Day. Come on. Yeah, let's go. Come on. Everybody's in the game. Everybody's in the game. Okay. So get a Valentine for your sweetheart and then a pat on the back for your friend, okay? Okay, the next thing, our nursery. We want to open our nursery on Sunday nights, and we need three or four workers. So we have the nursery open at 11 in the morning. Nursery is on Wednesday night, like tonight. Thank God. Give them a hand. That's amazing what they do. And we want to also open it up on Sunday night. So we need workers for that. So could you pray for that and act on it as God leads? The next thing I want to mention is missions night. That'll be a lot of fun. That's a Sunday night here. It's all about missions. And we're going to have food, foreign foods in the Bible school. We'll have a lot of fun that night. We'll hear missions, dress up like a native of another country or a missionary with a hat on and all that. And that'll be fun. That'll be 28th of February. And then here's the big one, Uricon. Uricon is March 8th and 13th. And we're inviting all the American pastors to come to Baltimore. Bring your wife, bring your family. Come to Baltimore for a few days or the whole week if you want to. We'll have pastors' meetings in the morning. We'll have services here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That'll be live over in Europe. They'll be watching a service here. 1 o'clock in the afternoon will be evening time in Europe, and that'll be a whole great time from Tuesday to Saturday. And we'll have the American guys here, too. Come. And be with us and enjoy that. Draw near. All right, here's the girl, the angry girl, has put a dress on her, put her hair. And here's her sister. And so there is a real problem between these two. It turned out pretty good, didn't it, the drawing? Yeah, I can see that. Okay. What happens when your life, when you're angry or upset, what happens when, figuratively speaking, somebody takes your clothes, wears them, takes them off, rolls them up in a ball and throws them under the bed and could care less about you and the clothes? What do you think? Okay, how do you handle that? This is what we do with it. This is important. We have a triangle here, and God is the one in charge. And I say to God, God, she's ruining my clothes. They belong to me. I own them. And the Lord says to me, give them to me. What? The clothes. Give the clothes to me. Those are my clothes. God, those are your clothes. Yes, those are my clothes. This is my business. Bring me into this. I am God. But I have my rights. And the Lord says, the right that you have is the cross. What is the cross? Is that I could get angry about my family problem, but I can also go to God, and I can believe God and worship God, and I can give God the most precious thing in my life, my wife, my life, my son, my daughter, my granddaughter, my job. I can give to God my clothes, my car, my house. I can give to God my friend. What do you mean, give to God? I mean it. I mean it. It's taking up the cross. Unless a man takes up the cross and follows me, he cannot learn anything. He can't learn. He can't know. He can't be strong. He can't grow if he's not consecrated. Consecration is what Samson did. Consecration. And listen to this. It's what Samson did, and it's what Samson lost. He lost it. He lost his power. He lost his consecration. I honestly believe that the devil would love to draw us into his swamp and fight and live in my emotions and my resentment and my hatred. This is one thing that I'm saying about the propaganda of the day when people are saying things, but I'm not against good intentions. I love good intentions, and many people that are talking about these things, they may have good intentions. They may not even know what they're doing. It says that about Absalom. There were 200 men that were simple and followed Absalom, and they didn't really know what they were doing. That's called deception, that people follow, but they don't know what exactly they're doing because they don't have God, a triangle. They have this kind of a thing, like between two people. It's just this fight. And that's why families can't get along, because there's always going to be too much mustard in the mayonnaise. Are you going to be late? You're going to not care. You're going to miss the birthday. There's always going to be something, an attitude, a feeling, a projection. There'll always be something in our life that'll pull us apart. It'll pull us apart. Guess what? The devil hates the unity that happens through consecration, the cross. Now, in the story with the two teenagers, the girl, and this is written in a counseling book, the girl took it to God, and she said, Lord, these are not my clothes, these are your clothes, and I worship you, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm asking you, I'm a steward of those clothes, but I am not a possessor of them. Well, this is the message for tonight. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7, this text. It's shocking. It is. It's shocking. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 29. By the way, thank you so much for being here. I mean it with all my heart. I'm unworthy. I mean, that's not false humility as far as I know. I feel very honored. I feel people pray for us. I feel the Lord is teaching and leading us in love and understanding some things a little bit, but I think we have a good chance of living through troubled times because we're learning these kind of things. These are troubled times, and we're learning things that are preparing us to meet Christ. That day is coming. Whoa, 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 woohoo! Man, it's coming. Man, that's coming. That's amazing. I read the other day, Hebrews 11:10, Abraham looked for a city that had foundations. And the only city I know in the Bible that had foundations is the one at the end of Revelation. That city, the heavenly city, has foundations. Isn't that cool? And it's the apostles and prophets. Okay, chapter 7, 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Let me add. Time is short. Live a consecrated life. Know the difference between the clean and the unclean. Stay away from the unclean and be clean. You'll find you'll be so satisfied, like you'll be so strong, like Samson. And your life will be filled with blessed events and things that happen because the time is short. Live consecrated. Verse 29, it remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. You know that, how could you ever do that? How could you have a wife and live as though you had none? Come on. How could you do it? It's up on the screen. That's how. How do you do it? How do you have a wife and live like you had none? Answer, it's a triangle. Lord, this is my wife, but she actually belongs to you. And I'm a steward of our relationship, and I love her, and I learn how to live with her and be a minister to her. 1 Peter 3:7. But I find when I give my life, my wife, my things to you, that you are in it and you're going to help me. My hair grows longer, spiritually speaking. You have a consecration and you love your wife because you're not possessing your wife. You're not possessing. You are a steward. You are ministering, and she is one body with you. She's actually you. But how could I be also detached from, you know, like in some sense, how could I manage that? It's a thing of the heart, and it happens. It's the cross. You love your wife. But I'm not possessing. Look at the next verses, 30. And they that weep, as though they wept not. How can you live like that? That I weep, I'm heartbroken, I'm weeping, and then I live like I'm not weeping. How do you do that? The triangle. The weeping goes to God, and he gives me strength, and I live as though I didn't weep. There's a power there. How do you fast? I fast before God, and Jesus said, you clean your face and you act as though you're not fasting. How can you do that? Consecration. There's an authority in your life. There's something happening. How do you possess your car and take care of your car and love your car like a lot of guys do and then say, that's okay. That's God's car. And thank you. I used it today. And at the end of the day, you know, thank you. That was awesome. That's your car. And I trust you. And I will use it as long as you give it to me. And I will be using it to the glory of God. Guys, this is a new kind of life. This is the life that the devil never wants you to find. He doesn't want you to find the joy and the freedom and the love and the forgiveness and the wisdom and the understanding. Go to the next part, please, verse 30. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. We had a great time. We had a great time, but it ended. A great time, it ended, okay? Thank you, Lord, that was amazing. You gave us a time of rejoicing. And then, but that's all right. My life, it doesn't have to be based on weeping or rejoicing. My life is based on something that you cannot even define it. It's a mystery. It's a fellowship. Sometimes we are weeping, sometimes we are rejoicing, and we are stewards, and sometimes even the things we possess, we're not really holding them very tightly. Look at the next verse, please. It says, verse 30, part B, as though they that rejoice, and they that buy, as though they possessed not. Next time you buy something valuable, give it up to God. I bought my house. That's not yours. You buy it, but don't possess it. Hold it loosely in your hand. I'm a steward of it. Or you buy something. What is the meaning of this? This means that there is a spiritual power at work in your heart because God is in your heart so that you can live in this world and not be caught in a trap. Because in the trap, it's my sister ruining my clothes and throwing them away and treating me like nothing. And I get caught in a trap. And I say, what's the way out? And the Lord says, the cross is the way out. That's the way out. Love is the way out. Patience. In the story with the girl, and she did this and gave it up as a habit, and she says in her testimony, I don't know how it happened, but miraculously, my sister changed, and she stopped doing it. And we have the best relationship ever. Something happened. Well, let's ask Samson, where's your strength really coming from? He'll say, it's actually from God. I'm just strong because of God. That's the way I want you and I to feel this, and I believe we are. When we go through the pandemic, as we went through this past year, it's like a blip on the screen in my heart. I'm sorry for people that have suffered and are suffering today. I am saying that there's something about your life and my life that is so important, and it's called consecration. You cannot drink the fruit juice. I can't drink the fruit juice. You can't. You're a Nazarite. Yeah, I lose the fruit juice, but I gain the Holy Spirit. I might even limp, like Jacob after he wrestled with the angel. He was limping the rest of his life, leaning on a staff. But what did he gain? He had power with God and men. And the Canaanite people and the Philistine people were afraid of Jacob. And he was like a little guy, a handful of people in his family. Wasn't even a nation, really. Just a small tribe of people called, they'd speak this language, Hebrew. Yeah, they're nothing. But they are. The last verse to read is verse 31. This is good. And they that use this world as not abusing it for the fashion of... You use the world. Do you use the computer? Do you use your credit card? Do you use your phone? Do you use the world? Do you use the schools and the hospitals and the police stations? And do you use the institutions and the facilities? Do you use the world? Yes. But there's a detachment. Because it's not me in the world. It's me and God in the world. And in the world, our hair with God, our hair is growing. And I have an enemy. I have an enemy who's against this power. Those are the Philistines. They are against Samson. I have an enemy. And they're trying to find out what's the secret. They can't figure it out. How does Samson operate? How does that roll? And, you know, the world is also like God getting their eye. I believe they're going to train their eye upon people like us. Guys, we're in the world, but we don't really need them. We're not dependent on them. We're not afraid of them. We're not subject to them. We don't agree with them in every way. We're not anti, but we just have another source. We have the reality of Jesus Christ in our life. And they put their eye, they just say, you know, something like, love is love. Love is love. And we go, okay, let's talk about it. You know, can you think of where, you know, something's wrong? And on it goes. So anyway, I want to finish with the main point. The Philistines go to Delilah. And Delilah's Samson's girlfriend. Wow. A consecrated man is going to fall. And he's going to fall by telling his secret. You know, by being in the lap of the world, he is going to fall by a razor, a Philistine razor, that's going to cut his hair. And he's going to be mocked and ridiculed and brought down. And he's going to be shamed, and he's going to be stumbling along because he's blind and he can't be strong like he used to be. And he's going to be ridiculed and mocked and humiliated because he lost his consecration. And what is the Philistine razor that took 7 locks off his head? 7, it says. And I don't know what that means, but that's a message for somebody someday to preach on what those 7 locks were that Samson lost. That resulted in his, you know, did he lose his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering? Did he lose his gentleness, his goodness, his faith, his meekness, temperance? Those are 9. I don't know what they were, but the razor, the world has a razor to take you away from God and bring you to the common run-of-the-mill, you know, like little people that are just going like the penguins, you know. They're all the same. And they go into the Arctic Sea or the Antarctic waters, and they all go the same way. Samson, the story of Samson is in your Bible and my Bible for us to think about how we are to live. And the key is bring God into everything. Bring God into your argument. Bring God into your empty heart. Bring God into your fleshly nature. Bring him in principle, you know, understand what I mean. Bring God into the disagreement. Bring God into your life. Bring God, be serious about it. When you buy something, bring it before God. When you enjoy something, enjoy it and be enjoying it in the presence of God and praise him for it. But also be able to say, if I did not enjoy this, I know I have God who I can always rejoice in God. For at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I might not have the life that I was looking for, but I've got the life that God has given me. And to be alive is a great miracle and work of grace. And I thank him for that. This is a new way of life. In closing, consecration. Many people don't do it. Many people don't have it. They don't go into their bedroom and get on their knees and give it up to God. I remember one time I was a little sick. This is a long time ago. I was living in Bel Air, Maryland at the time. I had two little girls, Bethany and Amy, and probably Justin too. I don't remember, but I only remember the girl part. I couldn't sleep. I was sick. I had a fever or something, you know. And I went to prayer. I knelt down before, and God was searching my heart, and he said, there's something that you love too much. And I go, yes, Lord, I know what you mean. It's my girls. I love them too much. They mean a lot to me, my little girls. Give them to me. Give them to me. Very hard. Very hard, you know. Very hard. Give them to me. They are not yours. They are mine. Those girls are mine. Isn't that good? So I did it in my heart. I mean, as we, you know, as far as we know. And now, whatever, 40 years later, I have these two women that I'm so thankful for and so proud of in the Lord. There's no way that in our family we could ever have the family. I don't believe it could ever happen without that triangle. It's God that decides if we live or die. It's God that decides what you have in your heart. It's God that decides if he answers your prayer or not. And it was tested, because when they were, you know, 11 and 12 years of age, Justin was 9 years old, we moved to Hungary, and then after a year there, we moved back, and I felt, my wife and I agreed my place was to be in Hungary, and she could raise the family. My wife could raise the family. What a woman! How could that happen? And to bring it before God and to believe that that's God's will, that's amazing. But you know, you can't outgive God. And what we give to God, there's a consecration that happens. And you find strength. And we went through years, 13 years. And I don't care about that. I care about what we're saying, and it's for all of us. And there's no hero here. There's nothing about that. It's only to glorify God. I remember one time I was without my family, and I could cry. Like, I could just cry. Like, I was living in Hungary, and I couldn't do anything because I was just crying. Like every day, I could just think about my family, and I just started. I was in a McDonald's. I had to go in the bathroom and take a towel and just cry in the towel, and then go out and try to do the rap session in the McDonald's, and I really couldn't do it. I had to go home and cry, and I'm not like that. So I called Dr. Stevens up, and I go, Pastor, I think, I don't know what's going on, but I'm like, I'm just so emotional. Maybe God is saying it's time for me to come home, and this is over. And he said, do whatever God is leading you. You know, whatever God wants you to do. So I went before God in prayer, and kneeled down at the bedside there in Hungary and Budapest, and I said, Lord, if this is from you, like, make it clear to me in the morning. I'm going to bed now. When I wake up, I just want this to be clear to me. When I got up, it was all over and gone. It was over and gone. No more emotion about it. God took it away. It was a most amazing thing. It helps me understand people a little better. When I understand people go through things, sometimes there are things that we go through, you don't know where it's coming from. And you don't know how God will answer you. But God is in your life. And if you have only this kind of model here, just you and your sister fighting over the clothes, that's one way to live, if you want. And maybe you're going to win by beating her up or something. But there's another way. Give everything all the time to God and consecrate your life before God. And that consecration will have an effect on you. It will help you and the people around you. And there'll be a day maybe when you lose it, and the world will come and give you a haircut and say, hey, knock it off, get back in your corner, you nobody, you're nothing, who do you think you are? And remove us from the power and the ministry and the work of grace and the Spirit answering prayer and leading us in faith. No, our life is not up for grabs. The devil cannot have it. The world does not own it. We are in charge. We are God's people. We have the Spirit of God. No, we decide. I decide what happens in my family. I decide by God. God is in our family. And I decide with God what's going on in our home. And it's not up for, turn that off. Turn that off. Turn that TV off. Turn it off. That garbage is not coming into my house. And so on. Where does Samson get the, where, how was he able to do it? Because he was consecrated to God. This isn't anger. It's not anything malicious. It's not hatred. This is the Lord is with you. And this is how we want to live. Amen. Okay, thank you, Lord, for this. Lord Jesus, maybe some of us could say before you, we are hungry for this new life. We don't talk about people. We don't talk negative about people. If my husband's having a hard time, I don't go to my girlfriends and talk about him. I go before God. My wife has problems. I'm not talking about her. I'm not gossiping. I'm not talking. I'm not even for prayer. No, not even. No, I don't want to know gossip in a prayer meeting. I don't want to know. I don't need to know any of that stuff. What we need to know is your holiness, your love, and your wisdom. And then, Lord, honor your Son in each life here. And then anyone coming to you tonight for the first time, may God bless you in every way and learn of him and grow in him and be consecrated. You don't have sex with anybody until you're married. You are consecrated. You don't tell lies. You are consecrated. You don't live in fear. You are consecrated. You are not manipulated. You are consecrated. You are different and separate. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In your name, amen.